Welcome to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. I am one heaping half of your hosts, Quizmaster Lee Brushnida, and I'm joined here by Mr. Mark Davis.
Such a smile on your face today.
I'm happy.
You seem very happy.
I had a lot of coffee.
You did. You poured yourself a cup right when we were supposed to leave and said to yourself, I don't know why I just poured this.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then you, I drank about half of that. So, I'm working on at least a half cup bonus on top of my regular three cups.
Yeah, and you got a to-go
one. I had one before I left, and I've got a to-go one ready to go here.
Bing, bang, boom, boom, boom. Not to mention the fact,
uh-huh,
not only are we here recording another podcast, not only are we in each other's glorious presence, but we have a third presence with us today.
Yes. Yes, another guest. Another guest. And who might that be?
This is the wonderful, the handsome, the ever, ever beautiful.
Long-awaited?
Long-awaited.
Long-awaited guest we've been talking about.
Oft talked about.
Yeah. Rate my question submitter. Miscorrectionist.
Dallas Robinson.
Oh, hello, hello, guys. Such a big fan.
Welcome.
He's got tears listener. Streaming down his face.
Yeah.
How are you, Dallas?
Really. I'm doing really good. Today's a good day. I had myself a little coffee also.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
I feel your jitters there a little bit.
It's important.
Yes, yeah. Got to perk yourself up in the morning. So we've talked about you a couple times on the podcast. You are another trivia host in the area. And you got your start basically through Juan, which is kind of where I got my start. Do you want to tell us a little bit about how you got involved in trivia and how you got trivia quiz hosting?
Yes, it was about 3 years ago or so. I knew Juan from years back. When I was a younger guy here, I used to always go to Nemo's on Santa Barbara and sing karaoke there, and he was the karaoke host.
Okay.
So he saw my face all the time because whenever I was around, I would sing. So when I came back, he was hosting a trivia at the deck, and he was like, hey, you know, you like karaoke and you like trivia and stuff. You want to get into it, just hit me up tomorrow and we can talk about doing some stuff. And I was like, you know what? I like it. And
awesome. So did you get into it as a part-time job? Or are you working a full-time job? Or
no, I just came back from being overseas. So I was living off all that good money. So I wasn't working. And I was like, I need to do something to keep myself busy a little bit.
Right.
Fantastic.
And do what you love, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, trivia is so fun. Like, sometimes I'm surprised, like when I get like, damn, I'm getting a paycheck out of this, basically, you know?
Absolutely. It's I think when I first started doing trivia at Nice Guys, I wasn't even aware I was going to get paid. I thought like maybe I'd get a pizza.
Right.
Or whatever. And they were like, oh, we're going to give you money. I was like, what?
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Free drinks.
That good life.
Yeah. So I think probably your best known trivia locally is at 10:25. That's on Tuesday nights.
Yes.
And you do themed trivia. We've talked about, I think, before here, how gigantic it is, how many people show up for this thing, because you hit a lot of the hot spots, you know, where you're doing like Harry Potter, Marvel, DC,
Game of Thrones. Nerd I went to your culture. Game of Thrones trivia a couple
Game
months
of Thrones
ago.
Trivia, yeah. So how
I got humbled. I almost said humiliated, but humbled, really.
Maybe a little bit of both.
Nobody was aware of my shame.
So how did that come to be? How did you get that built up the way you did?
Well, I was thinking about doing themed trivia for a while, but I couldn't think of a good time or like what would actually work with everyone. And basically, it was right before Avengers Infinity War came out. And I was like, this would probably be like the best spot. Like, the hype for this movie is really big. Everyone's into it. We can give out like free tickets for the movie and things like that. And using that to propel the people who usually come throughout the week to try and get more people there is the basic idea, but it really worked. It was...
So that was your first big theme at 10:25?
Yeah, Marvel.
Oh, really?
It was crazy.
I remember that so well because that was like right at the beginning of when I started doing trivia. Like I think I did around that time a Marvel movies trivia too, but that was only like my third ever trivia besides like guest hosting and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think there was one that was a Harry Potter one that Jamie and I think Fletcher and Kristen tried going to. And they got there, I think, an hour and a half early.
Yeah.
And they were already setting up tables outside because the inside was already filled up. So
we got there early for the Game of Thrones one, too. So what would you say? You usually have on an average night, not too high, not too low, about 100 people maybe?
80 to 100 is usually the average. Yeah. I can't really count people. I just mm-hmm. usually count teams.
Right.
There's usually about 30-some teams.
Right.
Jeez and crow. Yeah.
And what are you? You're usually sitting at what, 12 to 15 mark?
Yeah, teams? Somewhere around there. I think some of the busiest nights we've had almost 30.
Yeah.
But Nice Guys is also like half of the size. I feel is like half of the size of 1025.
It does matter the venue size, you know.
For sure. Yeah. And I mean, 1025 is also delicious. Yeah. If we're being honest about it.
And I do feel like your rate as a quizmaster should fluctuate based on how many players you have to manage. Basically, you know, like if a venue's coming to you and you know they're like, hey, we want to do trivia here. And they're paying you the same amount, but they have double the amount of players. That's actually a lot of extra work for you.
It really is.
A lot of legwork.
Mm-hmm. Legwork. It's FaceTime with the players. You know, you're trying to interface with all the teams and like get them to come back the next week. Score point management and stuff like that. I mean, it gets to a point where you could probably really use a second person. I know I've seen you pull in a second person for some of those bigger nights.
Whenever I do a theme night, my friend Joe, he's always helped me because it's just way too many people.
Yeah.
On the regular nights, we usually average about 10 teams, 12 teams, somewhere mm-hmm. around there. So I don't have any problem going around picking up the slips myself to try and engage with everyone. But
right.
mm-hmm. those theme nights, I'm not moving them. I'm just
Lee has away. The power's gone to Lee's head. He makes people bring him the sheets. He's like, after I've said hello to you and dropped off the sheets, that's all you're getting from me.
Peasants.
Sometimes I go around and pick it up when I'm feeling generous, you know, but I just see it as like, hey, if you want to win, you got to make the extra effort, you know, bring him to me.
So let's talk about some of your other nights outside of the theme nights, because it's widely known on this podcast by now that I hate themed nights.
Yeah.
I mean, other than the fact that they bring you insane amounts of people.
Real quick, though, we had a theme night this week, a surprise theme night on Monday night. Uh-huh. How did you feel about that?
Very bad.
Ooh. Yeah.
Everybody on my team was very upset.
Yeah. Do you want to explain?
It was President's Day, so yep. it was all President's themed, except for the last question.
Except for the last one.
Which you've started doing the losing team the week before gets to choose the subject. So the last question was about Naruto.
Yes.
And every other question was about a fucking president.
It gave me a good out because, you know, several people, are they all President's themed tonight? No, not all of them. One of them was Naruto themed.
Thank Christ.
Ridiculous. But it was the driest room I've ever left as mm-hmm. as a trivia host goes, and I will never do that again.
Let me
apologize to you right now for surprise theming you.
Thank you.
I don't think, you know, it basically wasn't fun. I don't think. It felt a lot like school, you know?
Because, you know, there's only so many questions you can have about presidents.
Mm-hmm.
And it got to the point where it was just like the most obscure things on the face of the planet.
They were interesting, though. I feel like I stayed away from just like, this is history, you know? It's like, who was the first president to win a Grammy, you know? So, yes.
Yeah.
or what did, that was Bill Clinton. And also another Bill Clinton question that I had too, was what was the song that he played on the Arsenio Hall show in 1992?
Wow.
Do you remember what song it was? It was an Elvis song. Elvis song.
He played the sax.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was so close to picking the answer too.
Heartbreak Hotel. Heartbreak Hotel.
Because it's such a perfect sax song.
Yep.
That's not supposed to sound like
a saxophone. If you owned a pair of sunglasses and a saxophone in 1992, you're voting for Bill Clinton after that.
And technically speaking, you had another Bill Clinton question because you asked about socks.
Oh, right. Yeah. On the bonus. Yep.
That's three.
Yep.
But that was on one of your extra.
It was a little Bill heavy, I'll admit. Mm. There's plenty of presidents.
Lee has now picked up his coffee twice and put it back down.
Yeah, I don't need any more. I don't need any more. Anyways.
That's right. So some of your other nights, so where else do you do trivia and what is that like?
That's the only place I do trivia. I fill in at other places, and I believe next week or the week after I'm going to be starting back up at the Dugout.
Okay.
Pine Island Road, but I do it sometimes at Cascade in the Burnstorm Arena and at the Deck on Saturdays.
I filled in for Cascade once, and it was a lot of fun.
I like the group there.
A lot of rich people, a lot of older people.
I appreciate that president trivia, probably.
Absolutely.
They'd love it.
Well, Dallas, thanks for joining us on the no-no today. Hey. We've been waiting to have you in the room, and here you are. I can't wait to hear some of the questions that you have prepared for us.
Pleasure.
Yeah, so today is going to be a special day for the listeners because you're going to get three people asking two rounds of trivia and a last question. So if you love answering questions and yelling at your stereo, oh boy.
Get ready. Three quiz masters. Absolutely. Now.
I have a feeling you get that look in your eyes. Like you're going to do a rundown.
It's just the coffee, man. No, we are. We're going to do a weekly wrap up real quick here. Last week on Valentine's Day, Wish You Were Beer won with 111 points. I think we read that last week, but recording schedules permitting, you get two shout outs there. 111 points to Wish You Were Beer. And then on Monday for our President's Day themed trivia with a Naruto chaser, we had the Wet Boys with 94 points. Pulling it out. Though they might complain about the theme, they were still able to stomp even our most ardent history and Naruto lovers. And then, of course, last night we were at Bury Me Brewing Company with a, I like this team name, Mark, Mike Pence None the Richer.
Oh, that's cute.
Kiss me. He would never listen to that song.
No.
Mother.
Elect me.
They beat... they beat six other teams with 75 points. How did your teams do at Nice Guys?
They did well. Dallas was actually there. Dallas is...
No. You soloed it?
Yeah, so his name is Solo Negro, mm-hmm. which is one of my favorite team names of all time.
Dallas is white, in case you can't tell.
Obviously, yeah.
So we had another great name from Jamie's team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're ready.
I'm ready.
Lawrence of Alabia.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Sensual.
Indeed. So they won the first
cinematically
round.
Sensual.
They won the first round and then lost their grip. We had two teams tie for the second round. And then the end of the night went to Thrifty, 50, and Thriving with 44 points, which was a new coming team.
Interesting name.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was
very
cute.
Very light and poetic.
Indeed, yeah. None of them were 50, I don't think.
Interesting.
It was just,
did not expect that.
Yeah, it was just...
Older?
Younger.
Younger kids.
That's even stranger.
Yeah, I think they just thought it was cute. Which, they're right, I feel like.
Getting younger sounding name. That sounds like a baby boomer name, I'm just going to say it.
But 44 points they ended the night with, so.
That was your winning team at 44 points?
Wow, you can tell our trivia, my trivia is a little tougher.
Tough score there, yeah.
It does. It was, yeah.
All right. And Dallas, do you remember your 1025 winners?
Yes, it was last Tuesday. The Bootios. The Bootios won.
Beautiful.
With, 51 points. They had 51 points. Those 10 teams. There was actually a group of people that worked there, and they were off. Mm. So each round they won, they kind of just gave out the prizes to the
customers.
Oh, that's nice. Everybody wins.
We have the house play sometimes, and yeah, there's usually generally agreement if the house wins it defaults to that to the next lowest. But is that Budio's like the wrestling reference, or is it Budeo, like they're
I have no idea where they came up from with that. I was like,
Budio's is a fake cereal,
right? Isn't that related to like the wrestlers?
Oh, I have
like
no idea.
there's like three wrestlers in the WWE and they're like very flamboyant, and I don't know,
maybe I don't watch wrestling, so.
Yeah, anyways, thanks to those teams, the Budio's, 50 and Nifty, whatever, and Wish You Were Beer to Wet Boys, Mike Pence, none the Richer. Thanks for coming out, and if you would like to join us next week, this week, you can find us Monday, February 25th at Three Pepper Burrito Company at 7:30 p.m. Then on Wednesday, February 27th, on Tuesday at 10:25 with Dallas, right?
Ooh,
yeah. What time does yours start at?
7 p.m. and it's 90s music trivia.
Oh, nice.
Shit.
So that'll be on Tuesday, February 26th.
Shit. I might have to see if I can't make that happen.
You going to have some for us today, or you're not going to give up the
music? No. Yeah. No, I can't do that.
Well, anyways, we're going to see what you got for today. Wednesday, February 27th, we'll be at Bury Me Brewing Company at 7 o'clock for some trivia. And then after that, we'll hop over the bridge over in the downtown Cape Coral, Nice Guys Pizza.
Hi.
And see Mark Davis.
That's me.
Do his trivia. That starts at 9 o'clock. Usually runs to about 10:30, but you can hang out afterwards.
Yeah, get absolutely. Some pizza. Have a couple drinks with me.
Yeah, yep. Then Thursday, February 28th, as we are every Thursday, we'll be at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in Cape Coral. That one's starting at 7:30. So four great chances for you to come and try out our live trivia stylings this week and every week. If you're interested, you can find out more information about all of our live events online at nononsensetrivia.com. All of the No Nonsense events are free to play, and you can win prizes after every round. Join us.
Won't you?
We're gonna take
that was
a short
break.
Three-part.
I've always wanted to do that. I just have to.
Welcome. Welcome to the choir. Welcome to the choir.
Needed the bass in there. No.
We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with some trivia in round one. Before we get started with round one, we want to give a big, big old shout out to our Patreon supporters for helping us out with the show.
Thank you.
Thank you, our Rumpelsnailskins, Mike C, Mike J. Thank you to our proverbial lightkeepers, Moist Max and Moist Lucas, Sean, Sherry, Gil, and now our first non-Floridian Patreon, Josh from Tennessee.
Thank you, Josh.
Thank you. And also thank you to our team captains, Kristen and Fletcher.
Wow.
All the support. What did we ever do to deserve this?
Well,
just,
I know,
just for talking?
Great content, guys.
Yeah.
That's what
thanks,
you
man.
Do.
Thank you. Yeah.
We appreciate it.
If you've got a Lux or Scratch, you want to support the show, just go to our website, nononsensetrivia.com. The no-no. That's TheKnowNo.com. And you can click the support button in the upper right-hand corner of the screen, and it will take you to our Patreon. You'll get access to all sorts of bonus content, all sorts. Well, really just one sort, bonus episodes. Mm-hmm. But those are good.
We got the new episode going up soon here.
Yep, very soon. You'll get
the lost weekend.
The lost week, really. There was a 6-day spread on the production for that episode that will be available as a bonus to our Patreon supporters. And thank you to those of you who have. All right, now let's go ahead and get into round one of our trivia. If we can, Dallas, would you like to take the reins on this first question, and me and Mark will team up for once?
It would be my pleasure.
Can't wait to team up with you. Let's do it. Let's team up.
I'm just going to try and start a little bit easy here.
Okay.
We'll see where you guys are at.
I like it.
But Justin Timberlake, famed musician, of course, how many Super Bowl halftime shows has he performed in?
Justin Timberlake?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
I'm thinking 3 to 4. I can clearly remember 2 as Justin Timberlake, and there's at least 1 NSYNC, so that would be 3. Maybe 2 NSYNC performances, maybe a reunion. I rarely watch the Super Bowl, so I feel like I should defer to you on that. But that's just my thoughts going into it.
I mean, I feel like it can't be more than 2. I don't know that the NSYNC ever did a Super Bowl halftime show.
Were they rumored to reunite and they didn't?
I don't know.
I feel like I heard that. So you're thinking 2?
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about it. Well,
3 makes you
okay. The one with Janet Jackson.
Yeah,
that was him, right?
Yeah,
big one. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say that was probably
everyone
the first.
Knows that,
yeah. His first solo for sure. You're probably right. There probably was not an NSYNC halftime show at the height of their popularity. You know. But a reunion? Did a reunion happen? I feel like maybe that was rumored and it was just Justin again? Or maybe nothing?
Backstreet Boys got back together.
That even further clouds the field. Let's go with 2.
Yeah, we'll go with 2. Feeling.
It's 3. And yeah. NSYNC did have...
Son of a bitch.
Wow.
So it was him and then NSYNC. And what was the other one?
He did one by himself. About last year or the year before.
Yep, I remember that when he had his cowboy album.
Damn.
He had his cowboy album out, so he had to go do a halftime show. I mean, I think they probably asked, like, you know, 4 or 5 other people first and settled on Justin. That's usually how that goes, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine that the first choice, they always get it, you know, for the halftime show.
Right.
So, all right.
I'll go.
All right, nice.
I know both of you love Game of Thrones.
Team up.
Mm-hmm.
I know both of you love Game of Thrones.
Yep.
So here's a Game of Thrones question for
I think
you.
I botched one previously, though. You asked about house words, I think, on the podcast, and I fucked it up.
Ooh. What is the date that the first episode of season 8 starts?
Ooh.
This is the kind of shit that I usually know, and I have no idea.
I should totally know this.
I want to... It's not... Oh. I don't know. I have a month-long window in my head right now. It's between March and April.
Yes, I think it's in April. And if,
April 7th?
No, I'm thinking it's maybe 13th, is it? I don't know what day of the week Sunday would fall on.
My confidence in April 7th is about 3%. So if yours is higher for yours, I'll default to you or defer to you on this.
I can remember seeing the little sign where it's like number, dot, number.
And you think it said 4, 13?
I think it said 13, but I'm also getting 6 for some reason, so you can't really quote
Don't you do
here.
That to me, Dallas. Don't you do that to me.
I'm thinking 13th. I'm thinking 13th. I feel decently about it.
April 13th.
If you guys would have worked together, the answer is April 14th.
Ooh.
7 days after the 7th.
Oh, okay.
April 14th.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
If you guys would have worked to find out what day a Sunday would have fallen on, you probably would have made it happen.
You
know, a little too quick.
Can I just say as an aside, as a Game of Thrones fan, I can't handle knowing. Like, the idea that I'm going to know how this story ends after not knowing for so long, I feel like jumping off a goddamn bridge.
I don't want it to
Jeez.
End.
Jeez.
It's a 6 left.
I know, but movie
I can't
movie
handle
length.
It. I can't handle knowing.
I know. I'm sorry.
Life will be so different.
It will be.
Yeah. Anyways.
All right.
Good to know. Good
Let's
to know.
Let's get something from you.
All right. In the Hungarian dish goulash. This question is inspired by the meat cottage who's usually vending authentic Hungarian German food on Wednesdays at Bury Me Brewing. They usually come out very good. I always get some goulash to go. I would highly recommend it. But anyways, in the Hungarian dish goulash, what spice is of central importance to the stew's flavor?
Goulash.
Yeah.
Never had goulash before in my life.
I've never tasted it.
Don't know anything about it.
You guys got to come out on Wednesdays. Get some of that meat cottage goulash.
It's Hungarian?
Yep.
This is making me hungry.
What is goulash? What does it consist
it's like
of?
A, it's like it's a stew or a soup. I know that.
Yeah. Stew is a good way to describe it. Meat stew. It's
What's
served
spice?
It's served with various starches based on the region that it's from. So I think I remember reading in Eastern Germany, it's served with like some noodles, some spirally noodles.
Okay.
Whereas in Southern Germany, which is how the meat cottage serves it, they serve it with a bread dumpling, which is just like, imagine
Same
a
word.
Stuffing ball,
yeah.
just a ball of delicious stuffing, you
bread
know?
Inside bread.
Yeah. It doesn't...
We heard you liked bread. So mm-hmm. we put some bread in your bread so you could eat bread while
and
you
And then
bread.
You take the stew and you mash it up with the bread dumpling and then all the juices from the stew. What is the spice? That is flavoring that.
I'll take two.
I mean, I'm just basically guessing a random spice. I'm trying to think of a spice that would be like common in Germany. And I'm not really thinking of anything. I mean,
I'm going to give you a hint. Do you, if you know what color goulash is,
I don't.
That would help. You don't?
Nope.
Hmm.
I'm picturing brown.
I'm
trying to think if you say if you knew what color it was, would it help?
Mm-hmm. Maybe See, look at this tactic.
Yeah, like that's what I was
maybe
thinking.
Maybe it's like paprika.
I was thinking paprika
like
is the first one that came to
that's
my
what
mind.
What I was thinking.
All right, we're gonna go with paprika.
Sure.
That's right. It owes its red color to the spice paprika.
Yes.
Paprika.
I like where your brain went, but that's kind of where I was getting. I was like, well, I don't know what color it is, but what color? What spice has a strong color?
Right. Ain't cilantro.
Mm-mm.
No,
that's
sir.
Green as hell, but that it's gonna turn brown immediately. Mm-hmm. You throw that in a stew.
That's nasty.
All right, let's get a second question from our friend
cilantro,
Dallas.
Cilantro goulash.
Soup.
Ugh.
Sounds like hell.
Get the paprika goulash from the meat cottage on Wednesdays.
I'm totally going to get some now. We're all young men who've dabbled in illegally downloading of music in our younger years.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
I was just having a conversation last night, like the Pirate Bay. Now, there's a website I haven't used in a long time. Anyways.
The Napster, what year was it originally shut down? It got shut down a couple times, but the first year, it left our souls.
Then we started switching over to, I'll tell you,
Wire.
A lot of my MP3s came right from Mark Davis's computer through
Hello.
SoulSeek.
Yes.
If you remember correctly.
I love SoulSeek.
Should we be admitting this on record right
What's the statute of limitations on pirating music?
I mean, these were original Angry 4 recordings. Let's go exploring bands.
Absolutely.
Yeah, anyways.
Audio Galaxy is another one Seth turned me on to. You remember Audio Galaxy?
Barely.
I could find stuff on Audio Galaxy I couldn't find anywhere else. I found all five movements of Sailors and Whales, which was a five-part classical thing based off of Moby Dick that I played in high school. I could not find it anywhere to save my life. The face you're making is how I felt. And on Audio Galaxy, I was able to find it. I don't know how.
Did you also find a version of the Legend of Zelda theme erroneously labeled as System of a Down? Because I feel like that's a classic, like, MP3 flub.
There was so many.
It's an unknown band. Yeah. Yep. Sometimes they would say Weird Al, and it's like, you just wrote this as Weird Al because it's a joke, and you know Weird Al makes joke music.
Right.
There's no way in your mind does this sound like Weird Al to you.
It's not funny.
Grandma got ran over by a reindeer is not Weird Al.
This is all bringing me back to a small range of years. I'm going to say that the date that Napster was originally shut down in is somewhere between 2002 at the earliest and 2004 at the latest.
Let's go with 2002.
Are you sure it's not 2003?
No. But you're saying at the earliest? And he's talking about the first time?
I feel like 2000... That was my gut, was 2003. That's why I'm saying it couldn't have been. That was the year that I graduated high school. So, like, I remember... I feel like I used Napster or was aware of it, you know... And I didn't start hating Metallica until like right after graduation, which was like the second half of 2003.
Okay.
I feel like I wore my Metallica shirt all the way up to graduation.
All right, we'll go with 2003.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll go with 2003 then.
2003.
Ooh, it was 2002.
You son of a bitch. Fuck you.
You fucking
asshole.
Everybody gets a turd.
God everybody damn it. Gets a turd. Everybody gets a turd. I fucking knew it was 2002. God damn. Why did I let you strong arm me?
It probably just got reopened and you didn't think about that little gap there.
Something like that. Yeah. Mind the gap.
Something.
Mind the gap.
Something like that. All right. Here is your second question.
Mm-hmm.
Travis Kalanick was ousted from what company as CEO? Travis Kalanick. Kalanick was ousted from what company as CEO?
Hmm.
This just happened recently.
Travis Kalanick. This is a business current events question, sounds like. I know you don't subcategorize.
If you're going to subcategorize. Yeah.
This is not ringing a bell to me.
I remember seeing the story, but I do not believe I read it. And I was like, from the headlines, could I remember what?
What company is having trouble right now? I can't even think of any that are like... Obviously, I missed a news story here, though.
They might not have been in trouble. He might have just gotten in trouble for something.
Ousted.
And they ousted him.
Right. I guess by trouble, I just meant like facing public scrutiny. Is it the state of Virginia? Is that the governor's name? No, it's Northam. He's still there, though, right?
This is rough.
Hmm. Travis Kalanick, CEO of maybe it's a news organization. If it was a bank, they'd probably just give him a promotion if he did something wrong. It's probably not in the financial industry.
Bonus. No, I can't.
Travis Kalanick.
Travis.
I was thinking it has something to do with the news industry.
Mm-hmm. Why? Yeah, why? Why are we going there? I guess feel like there's room for intrigue.
Room for jello.
In the news industry. Travis Kalanick. Do you think it's print or like website news, or do you think it's like a TV news channel? I think it's like a website, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm
Travis
thinking.
Travis Kalanick. BuzzFeed just had a bunch of layoffs.
That could definitely be them.
So there could be some shifting going on there.
Mark's not giving us anything at all.
No.
Absolutely not.
I hate you.
I guess that would be my guess. I don't know. BuzzFeed.
It's better than anything I got.
Yeah, all right.
First of all, this isn't terribly new. This happened a little while ago. The correct answer is Uber.
Uber.
He was the CEO of Uber that had the sexual harassment.
I don't know why I didn't commit his name to memory. I know I can pick. He looks like kind of like Martin Shkreli a little bit.
Yeah, he's got that.
They have that same
face.
Look. Yeah.
That asshole.
Yeah. All right. I got a video game question for you guys.
Ooh.
Released in 1998 for the Nintendo 64, which Zelda game has the distinction of being the highest rated video game of all time on review aggregate website Metacritic?
I'm thinking it's got to be the Ocarina of Time.
That's as good a guess as I can come up with.
I can't remember what year it was released.
I feel like the Ocarina of Time came out on a better system, but I might be wrong. I've never played a Zelda game before in my life.
Didn't you just get like some crazy like video game emulator device?
I got one like an NES
million
one.
Zelda games on it.
It's got NES. Yeah.
So you haven't dipped into Zelda yet?
No.
Oh, they're good, man. It's a classic game.
I don't know if I can save on it. I gotta find out. Oh, okay.
Well, it's hard though too. Like the game is not designed for you to be able to like think about it like that. It's more like I'm making a run. I'm gonna make
maybe
a
I'll
run
just
through
go through all those like
points.
All those legacy games like Zelda and Final Fantasy. Maybe I'll just start. I've never played Kingdom Hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Kingdom Hearts 3 came out and everybody was losing their mind about it, and I was like, I don't know what this is. Nintendo 64, 1998.
I feel like the Ocarina is older than that. Actually, now I'm.
Thinking. I see. I feel like it's less old than that. So maybe between the two of us, we should just go with Ocarina of Time. I'm trying to think of what other titles there are. But see, Ocarina of Time, I remember being on... I think I remember seeing someone... let's just go with Ocarina of Time.
We could do it.
Because I can't think... Can you think of another name for a fucking Zelda game?
The actual titles.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
I really played.
Wind in the Trees or some shit, isn't there something? It's like a wind or something, or... Fucking Link to the Past.
Of, Wind Waker.
Link to the Past is. I'm not really a Nintendo person.
See, Link to the Past.
How dare you come on this podcast and say you're not a Nintendo person?
Well, neither am I.
Yeah, so PlayStation's your bag.
I don't play games, and PlayStation is. I'm a bigger fan of PlayStation.
Yeah.
You
play games so little. I bought your PlayStation for you.
Exactly. Yeah.
This is embarrassment.
Please,
what's going on here with this console?
You're like,
I'm going to give this
that
a proper
thing is just
home.
Collecting dust. What the fuck? I would say either Link to the Past or Ocarina of Time. You know more about games than I do, so if you think Ocarina of Time, let's go that.
It's the first thing that came to mind. Let's go with it.
Its popularity is ubiquitous. It is Ocarina of Time.
Nice.
Yeah,
thank you for
that's how deep in the cultural zeitgeist it is that two people that aren't even Nintendo fans or video game fans for that matter can guess that that's the most popular Zelda game.
Thank
so
God.
Good on you guys. Good on you guys.
Hey, we're two for two.
Yeah
baby.
And Dallas, it is Dallas's turn for the third and final question of the first round.
Yep. Well, the first final question.
The first final. The first in a series.
The pre-penultimate question. The trenultimate, triultimate?
Let's not.
This is similar to some of the questions I've sent in to you. Naming three different movies and tell me what actor has been in.
Ooh, these are tough. I like them.
They're hard. What actor appeared in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Mystic River, and The Game?
Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
So...
Mystic River.
Mm-hmm. Directed by Clint Eastwood.
I just watched Mystic River like the other day.
I'd love to watch it again. I have good memories of the movie fucking me up emotionally.
Never seen it. I own it, I think. It's one of those movies that was just like everywhere.
Yeah.
You know.
But they had 20 copies at Hollywood Video.
Exactly.
On DVD.
Yeah.
$4.
That's where I got my copy. I'm pretty sure I have it on DVD.
Me too.
So Sean Penn comes to mind. He's Spicoli in Fast Time at Ridgemont High. Is he in Mystic River? I think he is. It's him and I can picture him in my mind. I can skip it in my mind. No, what's the guy's name? He was in Arlington Road and Antitrust.
Well, pitter patter. Let's go with Sean.
We haven't even discussed The Game yet. Do you remember that movie?
I don't even know what the fuck The Game is.
The Game is Michael Douglas. It's basically I don't remember the exact plot, but I remember the spoiler. I can't really talk about it without spoiling it, because mm-hmm. it's such a twist ending, you know, that defines it.
The whole thing was a game,
but that stars Michael really Douglas. I don't remember Michael Douglas being in Fast
Times. Definitely
Times
not.
Or,
it's definitely not Michael Douglas.
Or so you want to go with Sean Penn?
Yeah.
It couldn't be Kevin Bacon. Was Kevin Bacon in Fast Times?
Don't know.
You don't know any of these?
Nope.
You're leaving me hanging out to dry.
Yep.
A little bit.
Sorry.
All right. Sean Penn. Best educated guess at this point.
Ooh, that is a good educated guess. Sean Penn.
Oh, really?
Playing
with my emotions here.
you were like jumping on his throat.
I was like, wait, let me take another guess. Let me take another one.
All right. Here is your final question.
Mm-hmm.
Of the first round.
Yeah.
What name did John Wayne Gacy use for his clown persona?
I remember this.
Do you remember this because of Marilyn Manson?
Yes.
Okay.
I do. That was my
fear, was that you knew this.
A lot
because
of my
of
serial
Manson.
Killer. I might have known this otherwise too.
I don't think
I'm sure.
You
No. I'm sure I heard it in its original context, but that the Marilyn Manson band member definitely cemented
that keyboardist.
The memory in my mind. Do you know it, Dallas?
I'm thinking...
This was another Hollywood video.
It is that time. I feel like I know his name. It's very popular, is it?
Well, he was the clown.
Yes.
He was the clown. Did you mention that in the question?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
His clown persona used what name?
And I was the only one I was thinking of, like the band Pennywise... And the clown Pennywise, but
nope,
that's
not Pennywise.
That's from It, Stephen King's It. Yeah,
It.
And it would be a little on the nose. Like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna take the Stephen King character.
Right.
If I remember correctly, it's Pogo the clown.
That's correct.
Okay.
Pogo.
Yep. And the keyboardist in Marilyn Manson.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Which I think he had another nickname actually. Mm-hmm. Wasn't it Madonna Wayne Gacy? Was that the keyboardist?
Yes.
And then he also went by Pogo,
right.
Which is John Wayne Gacy
as a shorthand.
Yep.
Yep.
There you go.
Very edgy.
Oh
that,
yeah,
that crew, that Ooh. That group of Florida musicians.
So I remember reading an article about or a book. I think it was The Long Hard Road Out of Hell.
Yeah, I read that a couple times,
which is really
school.
Good.
Yeah,
really, really interesting. And I think it was in that book where they talked about how they went to. Okay, this is fucked up. So trigger warning.
Are you going to talk about the groupies?
The one groupie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they went. Dallas is like, so this is the memory that always sticks with me about Pogo, mm-hmm. the band member.
Yep.
Was they were on the Howard Stern show. You know the story.
This is not, I mean, go for
they
it.
Had, they I, had, they went know. On the Howard Stern show and they said, whichever groupie wears a meat helmet can meet Marilyn Manson and Pogo.
Yeah.
So this girl did it. She was a steak with hot dogs hanging from it. And she got to meet them. And it was Marilyn Manson and fucking and the keyboardist of Marilyn Manson and Howard Stern, three of the most fucked up individuals on the face of the planet. And she was the girl who met them was deaf.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like talking to her and she was talking about how like she could feel the music and that's what she liked about it. She could feel like the rhythm.
Right.
And apparently the keyboardist said to her, I'm going to come in your useless ear canal.
Right.
Wow.
And yeah. Marilyn fucking Manson and Howard Stern looked at him like, what in the fuck is wrong with
you? I think that's the story I know, but I don't think Howard Stern was there. I think the story was maybe related on Howard Stern later, but I think that third person was actually Trent Reznor.
Okay, maybe
this
you're,
was
maybe
on a
you're
tour.
Right. I mean, it's been a long time since I read this book.
It's detailed in the book, The Long Hard Road Out of Hell. But
holy
yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
I remember reading that and being like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy?
Yeah, somebody, like Manson kicked out his bass player for some like accusations.
Twiggy Ramirez.
Yeah, and you know, when I heard that, I thought about this story, the same story, and remember thinking like, how can you be like holier than thou at all? Like when you have these other stories, you know what I mean? I'm sure the circumstances are different, but I just feel like, you know,
was it all for shock value or was he?
No, that was backstage fun. basically. It's like, come backstage and you can meet the band. And I think also they talk about how they were like throwing bologna at her and stuff and like, you know, all sorts of improprieties.
What can we get away with?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
living that rock star
what
life.
What humiliation basically. Are you willing to subject yourself to that will make me feel good about myself, that I can put you through this and you'll still love me?
Yeah. It's very terrible. This is the day before Farmville and live trivia. You know, they could have been saved had they come to our live trivia events. Please check out our website, nononsensetrivia.com, and save yourself from trouble. Anyways, I have a third question for you guys.
We're ready.
Yep. Owing its name to the Italian word for apple, what type of hair product originally contained a mashed version of the fruit? So I'm not looking for a brand name. I'm looking for a type of hair product.
I know the French word for apple is palm. So I'm guessing palmate.
Palmate. Italians, they have a slightly greasy hair. Like
whoa.
My best friend Sicilian, he said it's okay.
How the tables have turned.
I'm like 15% Italian. I feel that's about right.
The French word for potato is pomme de terre, which means apple of the earth.
Wow.
So I feel good about palm being the word for apple. I think you want to go with palmade?
Palmade definitely sounds good.
We're going to say palmade.
Yes. That's three exactly for three, right.
Baby. Yeah. Perfect
very
round.
Nice, very nice. Hell just yeah. As an aside, what do you think about that question? I kind of like it.
It's a good question.
Thank
good.
You.
It's a great question.
Yeah, that was my favorite question that I asked, basically. Like, oh.
Mashed up apple?
Yeah. It's that's like.
Disgusting.
It's got some, like, interesting history to it. It's kind of a language question.
Makes you want
to
throw up a little bit.
Yeah.
So I guess it's good, so though. Sticky that it made your hair and stick up there?
I don't know. I think it was the pulp, maybe, that would, like, act as, like, the dried pulp would, like, act as, like, a forming agent or something
it's
like that.
Kind of like a something about Mary
sounds
thing
disgusting, though. Yeah, it sounds really absolutely bad. Disgusting. I'm glad.
Sounds like it would smell good at first and then smell awful.
The glory of being born at the end of the 20th century instead of at the beginning. All right. I think that's
what a great
three
first
for each
round.
Of us, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Three for three.
All right, guys. Let's take another break and then more trivia.
Regroup.
Back in round two, we've got no missed corrections this week. We had a perfect week apparently
perfect,
last week.
And wrong with those.
No Rate My Question submissions. If you do want to send in a Rate My Question or a missed correction, email us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com and we'll read it. If you're right.
There you go.
You know.
If you're right, and if we want to rate your question, which we probably will.
We will only fact check our questions so far, but your missed correction we will scrutinize. Before we read it, just so you know. Anyways, please send them to us.
So interesting thing real quick. You just asked that question about palmade.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking through because I'm in the, I should say that I'm in the repository because Dallas was at my trivia last night.
Digging deep, digging going deep. Freestyle.
Guess what question I happen to have in the same, question, the same area of where I'm reading from.
What?
It's a question about in French. Palm means apple. What vegetable is a pomme de terre?
Oh. Didn't you just cite that?
Yes. I did. That is literally three questions after the pogo question.
Wow.
Is that not fucking crazy? I have 171 pages of questions.
Did you remember that when you brought it up when you were figuring it out? Or did you see that on your phone in the repository?
I remembered it. So, as a matter of fact, I wanted to ask, what do you use for your questions, Dallas? We don't necessarily need like specific, but what percentage is your knowledge? Because that is knowledge that I have from French class. That is a 100% mark, just like busted out. It's something I knew and
in
asked.
Your brain. Yeah.
So where do you get a lot of your questions from?
I watch a lot of TV.
Science and nature documentaries, and man. Yes. He told us. Remember?
So like PBS, Eons. There's lots of Nova. Different, yeah, Nova. Lots of different YouTube channels that just have lots of different crazy facts. Or if I'm watching some movie, like I was watching Mystic River. Oh, you know, he was in this and this. It was a good movie.
Yeah.
Why not try and mix this around to make something interesting out of it?
So what percentage of your questions, I guess, is kind of what I'm getting at is from that as opposed to like looking up questions specifically?
80%? 80,
90.
Wow. I'll do that's a lot good. Of watching.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Watching. That's really, really awesome. And you were talking about as far as scoring, you usually do when you're doing trivia at 1025, you have predetermined point values for each question based on how hard you think it is?
Yes, and I literally just do it 1 to 5 with 5 questions each round. So first one's worth 1, so forth and so on like that.
Okay, so it's automatically 1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
Yes.
Interesting, okay. Because I know you started doing Lee predetermined point values.
Yeah, that's my framework basically for my quizzes, is the point values and order of point values never changes. The categories will change. Mm. But there's generally an easy, medium, and or a hard version of each main category. And then I plug in the rest. And some of it does, in my experience, has to deal with knowing the room. And I should have known better with the President's Day themed trivia. That the room is not going to be happy about that. But generally, what I'll do is I'll say, oh, you know what? Fletcher's here. It would be nice to throw in a comic book question every now and then. You know, Mark's here. A football question, especially during football season, might be appropriate. Seth comes regularly. Should have some history in there. You know, if I'm not satisfying the interests of the players, I don't think it lessens their likelihood of like wanting to come back, you know?
Gotcha.
I don't know. I had kind of an epiphany the other day. I was like, the perfect trivia question in my mind is one that is obscure enough that only one person on a 6-person team knows it, but they know it for a fact. Yes. And if you can get a full night of questions where that's happening and that one person that knows it for sure and the rest of the people are like, eh, if you can get that going on every question on each team, I think that's like probably the best night of trivia, is where people are like, oh, I don't know that. And then your one friend is like, I got this.
Yes. You know? See, I feel like the perfect night of trivia is one that is just obscure enough to where everyone knows they know it, but they have to reach for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what I love. Because I feel like even if you have the one person on the 6-person team that knows it for sure, if they know it for sure, then it's, you know, kind of a guaranteed thing. I like it to be,
but it's just still, it's still like a 1 out of 6 person ratio of people that knows it for sure. That's very rare.
And fair enough.
Most of the time, you're not like, I think in that scenario, not every team is going to have the one person
that knows.
Yeah. And it's so subjective too. Like as a quiz master, your own knowledge kind of biases, I think, the kinds of questions that you ask.
That's absolutely true. Yeah. I mean, and that's, you know, I know I've told a couple stories about like, you know, the first night I did trivia, one of my questions was Charlie Watts is the drummer for what classic rock band, thinking everyone knows this.
I can't even pull it right now.
No one knew. And I was like, how do you guys not know? It's the Rolling Stones. No one knew.
Surprised me.
Yeah. See, and like,
I know Rolling Stones fans.
Like, so that was a very quick wake up call.
Yeah.
To where I was like, oh yeah.
But that's these a good people one.
Have cool. not gone through their whole life obsessing about music like me.
Right.
And kind of like brought me back down to reality.
But see, I like that because now I'm sitting and if I'm imagining myself on a team and nobody knows that, I'm thinking, shit, I should have brought my stepdad. He would have known that one, you know.
Last night I had a question.
Valuable on the team.
The asteroid belt is located between which two planets? Thinking it was going to be so hard, and then over half of the teams got it. I originally had it as my last question, but I asked Greg if I should have a science question or if I should have a music question related to movies as my last question. And he said the music. Everybody's like, oh, do space. And I was like, all right, I'm going to do music then. and a bunch of teams would have gotten it right.
Yeah.
But the last question ended up being really, really hard, as I think you really can attest hard. To. I'm going to leave it for you for next week. Ugh. But yeah, it was like, you know, I'm glad that I switched it up because I don't know much about space. Do you know the answer?
I'm having trouble getting the planet order right in my head. I was thinking about it. Is it Mars and Jupiter?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
I even got that wrong. I was like, oh, I know this.
Well, some people put Jupiter and Saturn.
That's yeah. what I did.
Because you think of the rings around Jupiter. Right. So it's like, well, it's between one of these two. So I, you know.
I think in my mind to help me memorize that when I've heard it previously is like thinking of Mars as like the edge, you know, before the asteroid belt. You know,
that makes
like
sense.
And all the recent like science narrative that we have of going to Mars kind of helps that. Like, it's like the furthest that we can go before we get to the asteroid belt. Sometimes it's just like burying little tricks like that. Beryllium, by the way, is the fourth element. I finally figured it out. Not Boreon or whatever. whatever I came up with. Beryllium. And I have no idea what that has to do with like a bee drilling into a balloon, but
Beryllium.
You're asking Greg which category to choose. I think I should just mention for our other quizmasters as an aside before we get into our round two trivia. I had some of the President's Day themed bonus questions, which I give out little bonus sheets during my rounds that you can fill out as a team on the side while I'm asking questions, just for an extra point apiece, you know, that you can add on to your final score. And last night, because I had all these extra sheets, I thought, you know what? I'm going to give each team a choice on the bonus sheets. They can choose either presidential pets or I did Game of Thrones house words.
Ooh.
And so I would approach each table and say, which bonus sheet do you want? And I only had about seven teams, and just offering that choice, like, took up so much of my time as a quiz master table. I'm never going to do that again. It's nice like to think about like, oh yeah, you can choose like your team's more specialized knowledge and it might give you an advantage later on and you'll feel like you had more of a choice, but you really do need like an assistant or somebody helping you mitigate that time. Cause I was like, all right, I'd love to like help you guys mull this decision over, but I got to go read another question you know? So anyways, I would not recommend that unless you had some extra help.
All right, let's get into the second round. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first this time.
All righty.
What fact book does trivia-obsessed Gloria read in White Men Can't Jump from 1992, the, quote, only proven way to win Jeopardy? You remember Gloria, Rosie Perez's
character? I mean, faintly. It's been a long time since I've seen
that. Was like,
what fact book?
Yes.
Well, I mean, there's the Almanac. I don't know if you called the Guinness Book of World Records a fact book. I mean, I guess in a way it's a fact book.
Dallas, what you thinking, man?
I'm thinking it's been a long time since I've seen this movie.
Me too.
The Almanac is the closest thing I could think of.
Maybe I'll tell you.
An encyclopedia or something along those lines. Britannica?
I'll tell you where I got this question from was actually just like, you know, browsing around online and I saw a list like of books featured in movies. So sometimes there's no, like, for me, there's no, like, I have repository and I have places I can go to get questions, but they just see, it's like you've mentioned on the podcast before, Mark, like sometimes you just come across a trivia question in the wild. Like yesterday when I was getting my hair cut and I started looking up pomade because I was sitting there waiting for my barber to get done. And I was like, oh man, it used to be made with apples. You know, it's about investigating the facts that you see in your life. I think that really helps. But anyway, where are you guys going with this?
Denzel, help me. No, not Denzel.
Denzel. No, Wesley Snipes.
Wesley. They all look the same.
The government got him.
All look the same. Woody Harrelson, you lanky white son of a bitch. Fact book. A book of facts. I mean, it seemed like he was trying to steer us away from Almanac.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is coming to my mind for a fact. A book of facts. Ooh, I have mints.
That doesn't help.
Yeah, I was gonna say, is this your brain go-go juice? Chew on a mint.
We were doing so good. Yes, I wanna. thank you.
Giving me shit, and then he's like, "Yeah, give me a mint."
The mint has been traded. Mark participating in his famous candy grab. Before I'm good.
I don't know. All I can think of is fucking Almanac. I mean, it's got the book of facts. I mean, encyclopedia, I guess. Well, that's not a book. It's a bunch of books.
And they're not dictionary? Not facts. But those are like literally just definitions.
Should we just keep with Almanac?
Just stick with
We'll go with Poor Richard's Farmer's Almanac.
It is the World Almanac, which I was going to give you credit for, but then you said Poor Richard's. I don't know what the fuck that is. I mean, I do. That's Ben Franklin's, right? Mm-hmm. Didn't he start that?
I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure he originated Poor Richard's Farmer's Almanac, but the World Almanac like facts and figures, I think is the full title.
Okay.
The World Almanac.
I'm giving myself a point for that, so fuck off.
I'm not giving you a point. I'm not giving you a point. Who's next?
Think Mr. Dallas.
Yeah, Dallas, would you
it
mind?
It is me. Sticking with the solar system theme, how many
planets... Here comes that Nova. Here comes that Nova episode.
How many planets in our solar system have moons?
So who doesn't have
a
moon?
Good fucking question.
Who doesn't have a moon?
Venus? I mean, all...
Saturn's got moons. Mm-hmm. Jupiter's got moons. Mm-hmm.
Saturn, Jupiter.
Venus's moon is a phrase I've never heard.
I think Venus has a moon.
Really?
I think Venus has two moons.
Okay.
Might be wrong.
Neptune. The moon of Neptune. Neptune's moon. No.
I want to say...
No.
It's something... I can't say.
How many planets have moons or do not have moons?
Have moons.
Yeah, but I think it's easier to identify the ones that have no moons and then subtract.
Right, first of all, are you considering Pluto a planet?
No. Okay. Absolutely not.
My very educated mother just served us nachos. So there's 8 planets.
Mm-hmm. And I'm saying Neptune ain't got no moon.
I think you're wrong.
You think Neptune has a moon? Okay, so let's...
I don't think Mercury has a moon.
I agree there.
Mars has a moon?
Mars has a moon.
That's like one moon twice.
I think the answer might be 7. So you want to go with 6.
Mercury
is the only one without a moon. Am I crazy? I
don't
crazy.
Know. I'll trust your judge. I'm excited to hear the answer. But
well, no.
I feel like Neptune.
Talk to me.
All right. I don't remember. This goes back to our, I'm not going to fight for something I don't know for sure, you know, but my suspicion is that, Neptune and Venus are moonless.
So you think 3 have no moons?
Yeah. I'm thinking 5.
So let's split the difference and go 6. This is why I wanted to talk to you.
Let's do it.
Are we going to say 6?
6 is correct.
Yes.
See, motherfucker! Yes. You see?
Yeah.
It's not about fighting.
I'll take that point, because that's a correct answer. But you do not get any points for Poor Richards. It's the wrong book. It's not in the movie.
No, whatever.
It's not on screen.
Whatever.
I appreciate you following through on that, though.
I believe it's actually Mercury and Venus.
Mm, yep. Okay. So we were in concordance on Mercury, but I think I said Venus's moon is something I've never heard.
No. Mm-mm. It doesn't make sense.
I'm not going to give you a math question as I want to.
Thank you. Be like President's Day.
I'm not in school anymore.
Here's a question about presidents, motherfucker.
Oh, payback's a
Which
bitch.
President was responsible for dubbing June 14th Flag Day in 1916? You have a date there, so maybe it won't be so hard.
June 14th, Flag Day?
Mm-hmm.
Flag Day.
I feel like
a date I'm not unfamiliar with, about a subject I don't care about, by a president I can't remember.
I know
who you felt on Monday.
I should know this.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I've definitely learned this in the military. Like, hey,
right.
This is it's an actual holiday.
Yeah, yeah. It's just not an oft celebrated by the general American populous. People. Yeah, it's like, oh, Flag Day. I'll look that up later. Read about that. 1916, you said?
Yes, sir.
I could probably only name like 7 presidents, so I'm not going to be of any help on this one.
This sounds like something that Teddy Roosevelt was very active in his proclamations and executive orders. He was an active president. 1916? It sounds a little early.
It does. For Teddy.
Or maybe it's right on the money.
First thing he did is boom. Kick in the fucking door. This is fucking Flag Day, motherfucker.
Who was that's kind of stupid, but who would you think was so patriotic that they wanted to make it a holiday?
Teddy Roosevelt, yeah, right?
Teddy does make sense for that.
In that time period. Who would have the gumption to follow through on such an idea? All these other motherfuckers, they were doing, you know, trying to look at doctrines and shit.
Teddy was put on the, I can't remember what it's called, Mount Rushmore. He was president when that was being built.
Yeah.
Any idea around the, I can't remember when that went up.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Sounds about right. I mean, that time period. You start getting into the 1800s.
Yeah.
It's too early for that stuff.
I like Teddy.
1916. Yeah. Yeah, let's go with it. Teddy Roosevelt.
Who has that gumption? Who's that proud to be an American? Proud to be an American. Why no other than Woodrow Wilson.
Whoa. Woodrow Wilson.
Woodrow Wilson. 1916. Yeah,
I knew the date was off a little bit on that one. When was Teddy in?
Woodrow
a little Wilson. Earlier, right? Slightly earlier?
I thought later, but I'm terrible with presidents. Oh,
yeah.
What would you say is your strength in trivia?
A movie based. I like anything movie. Things in of the whole nerd culture like area is the things that
I picked out a final question for you guys that is going to merge your interests together, I think. Ooh. So nobody got it. It was my final question last night. Nobody got it. I think you guys are going to get it. That's just an aside here.
All right, let's see what we got.
This is my second question for you, though. We're going to stick in American history here.
Okay.
What figure of American folklore's material legacy was destroyed by the FBI during Prohibition due to its ties to alcohol production?
One more time.
What figure of American folklore's material legacy, everything that this individual worked for and attained in their life and built, was all destroyed by the FBI during Prohibition due to its ties to alcohol production? And I'll remind you, I'm looking for a figure of American folklore.
I have no fucking clue.
This is...
That question is worded so ham-fistedly.
I don't know how else I can say it.
No, I know. I've had that. I've had questions where I'm like, before I even read this, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I couldn't figure out how to fucking word this. So you're looking for a person in history.
In American folklore.
American folklore.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Which narrows it down, I feel.
I mean, like Johnny Appleseed.
Is this the person that, like, it was a literary person and all his works were destroyed by the FBI? So, like, I can't, I'm trying to.
So this figure in American folklore, they, you know, produced things in their life and it was all destroyed by the FBI due to its ties to alcohol production.
I'm going to say Johnny Appleseed. And why I'm going to say that is because cider can come from apples. I can't think of anybody else in American fucking folklore. And I'm just too impatient. If you've got any other ideas, I mean, American folklore, I have no fucking clue.
When was Prohibition? Was that the 30s? No. 30s?
Yeah.
30s? I feel like Johnny Appleseed is older than that. But I got nothing, so I'm going to go with you there, brother.
We're just going to go with Johnny Appleseed.
It is one John Chapman, a.k.a. Johnny Appleseed.
That's really good.
Are you kidding me?
If you remember, he...
Feed me that information,
He would buy a plot of land and, you know, plant some apple seeds and peach seeds.
Uh-huh.
And he figured, as long as I can stay away from all the other... stay ahead of all the other frontiersmen, I can just buy up every next plot of land and cover this whole land with apple trees and make a huge profit, which he did. But... the apples were not good enough for food production,
so what did he do?
Made them into cider.
I fucking knew it.
The That's FBI. Nice.
What a brilliant motherfucker.
During Prohibition, after he had passed, said, you know what?
That's crazy.
Get rid of all these trees.
That's God really damn right.
Good job.
Thanks.
Yeah.
All right. Dallas, hit us with question numero dos.
What author wrote The Emperor's New Clothes?
Author.
Terrible.
What author wrote?
I love the hand thing you're doing.
I thought that was like an oral story, like handed down. There was an author behind it, The Emperor's New Clothes.
The Emperor's New Clothes. I mean...
Wait, I'm confusing this with The Emperor Has No Clothes.
That's like a...
No, it's the same,
same thing.
Yeah.
A weird remake of
his, his new clothes... Is nakedness?
Yes. So the emperor's new clothes. The whole idea was that they convinced the emperor that these new clothes that he was wearing
were that, beautiful.
Yeah, and blah 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 blah, and that, you know, and he was naked. So he had the emperor wears no clothes,
strutting his stuff.
But he was convinced because he was so cocky. I see. That he was wearing this beautiful.
I vaguely. Remember a picture book or something of this from being a child.
Could you see his dick?
No, it was tastefully done.
Okay.
Tastefully done.
Well, back then,
this
I
was
mean,
not an illuminated manuscript.
Back then, they would
like,
just draw like
his
a little...
cock is a dragon consuming a rooster.
A little tiny...
Do you remember when they showed Bart's dick in the Simpsons movie?
No.
What?
Yeah.
In the one that came out recently? I guess it's the only Simpsons movie, right?
The bigger one, no.
That was the big thing, was that you were going to be able to see his dick.
I don't
because remember. It was in the movies, finally?
Yeah.
Like, they could show it. It was on broadcast TV.
And, like, he was skateboarding naked, and there was a hedge that, like, covered
this.
Him.
Oh, it kept
and
covering
then, and then the hedge
oh,
inverted,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you saw his dick go by.
That's skating right. by.
And it was like, all right, that's Bart Simpson's hog I just saw. Okay.
Little Bart dick.
Oh, man.
You.
Little Bart dick.
Anyway. It's not Dr. Seuss.
It's not Dean Koontz.
It's not Matt Groening.
It's not Danielle Steele.
Yeah.
A little older.
Mm-hmm. It's probably some motherfucker with one name, like Aesop.
Really? So you think it's that old? It's like...
Maybe. I don't know.
I was thinking...
It's like Johnny Appleseed. I'm just throwing him out here. I mean, it seems like an Aesop's fable kind of thing. You know, don't get too cocky. Don't get too full of yourself.
You're in the right area there.
Yeah. Is it
Grimm's?
Grimm's were usually like very
scary.
Cautionary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, don't go to that area of the woods because the bear will eat you. So we're going to make up a story about an old witch that lives there and bakes children into candy.
Well, clearly it's not Aesop because he said that we're in the right area,
it's
but it's not him.
It's not Grimm's. Is it Mother Goose?
Sure.
That doesn't sound right to me. I mean, I'm throwing it out there, but.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hmm. Mother Goose. I did have a Mother Goose book
who
as a
writes,
kid. So that
Hans Christian Andersen?
I like that.
Let's go with it.
Or.
Oh.
Dare I say.
Oh.
No. Mm. No, I'm going with you. I'm not even going to suggest it.
All right, let's go with Hans Christian Andersen.
It was Hans Christian Andersen.
Yes.
That was a good pull.
I'm on fucking fire. Feeling like I'm Mario and I just caught a star.
You're hitting.
Mother Goose.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. That was him too.
Mm-hmm.
So would you have accepted Mother Goose?
No, because he's
not the author. Whoa, 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 whoa. Hans Christian Andersen is Mother Goose?
Mm-hmm.
No fucking way. Seriously?
And The Princess and the Pea, he did quite a few.
I had no fucking clue.
Wow.
That's a huge thing here.
Is it okay that he appropriated that gender for...
No. But this was back then.
It's not okay. Yeah, that's news to me, actually.
Wow.
Wow. Dallas, thanks for sharing that insight with us.
That is huge. Yeah. All right.
I'm glad that wasn't a question.
All right.
But we might not have gotten there.
Here's my next question. Clarence Thomas... was involved in a sexual harassment scandal involving a pubic hair on a can of Coca-Cola. And what woman?
I know this. I watch a lot of C-SPAN, so I'm good.
I was like,
I'm a daily Washington Journal viewer.
This is one of those that I was like, you're either going to know it or you're going to be stretching.
From that, I don't know who it is, but I know it has to be some sort of political figure.
Clarence Thomas is now on the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually something that he was like planning on doing some fucked up shit because he's a piece of shit. but this was before, this is when he was being put on the Supreme Court when he was going through his,
the Kavanaugh process. Hearings were much, hearings. This was cited much during the Kavanaugh hearings because it was like history repeats itself basically. And, that young woman's name, she might've been like a paralegal or some kind of legal assistant
something
at
like
the
that.
Time. Her name was Anita Hill.
Correct.
Yeah.
Anita Hill.
Mm-hmm. Anita Hill.
And there was a, I want to say like a HBO movie or something starring Bunk from The Wire as Clarence Thomas.
Oh, that's yeah. good casting.
Yes. Well, and it became apt casting, too, because after it came out, all sorts of accusations came out against that actor.
No. Yeah. Come on, Bunk.
Mm-hmm. So he's a great actor, you know, but I don't know if you want to cancel him or not. I'm not sure the depth of the accusations or, you know, what's going on there. But I just remember hearing that come up and being like, oh, that's ironic because he played Clarence Thomas just recently.
And let me just before we get any miscorrections, I know that Bunk is not the one that said she it. Yeah. I just said that because it is a Wire reference. Right. And we were talking about a character on The Wire. So I don't need you telling me that it's the other guy. All right. Question numero tres from Lee.
Referee Tim Donaghy was investigated by the FBI for winning $2,000 per game to correctly pick the winner and cover the spread of games he himself was to referee for what sports league during the 2003 to 2007 seasons?
I do think I know this.
I think I remember reading something or watching a video about it.
What sports league?
I believe, was it football?
I think it was the NCAA basketball.
It was basketball because I went into a dive because of the whole Michael Jordan thing and the possible issues with him retiring. And
I haven't heard about that.
It's some weird stuff, but it was basketball. I don't know about college or...
Yeah, there was a 30 for 30 on this, I'm pretty sure. And I'm pretty sure it was NCAA basketball.
The answer is the NBA, the National Basketball Association. These were pro games.
This is the second time where I got cocky.
This is an interesting story to look up, though, if you're interested in, like, you know what?
Now that you're saying it, I have the wrong story. And yeah.
Yeah. So this NBA ref who he knew this bookkeeper, you know, from like way earlier in his life, basically they had this unspoken arrangement of, you know, you won't be penalized if you don't pick the winner, but if you correctly pick the winner ahead of time, we'll give you $2,000. So there was a big investigation by the FBI because this whole thing was tied to legitimate gangsters that they traced back to this referee, and all of these people made, you know, millions and millions of dollars off of these games. So the FBI was then tasked with investigating specific calls being made in specific games by referee Tim Donaghy in the 2003 to 2007 seasons. Unfortunately, they had to cease their investigation and move on because they had gotten the gangsters. And the NBA, meanwhile, has washed their hands of all of this. But who knows what implication that had in other legal aspects of gambling and stuff. Right. But it's just interesting that it pulled in so many people, and these games might have ridden on just one person who never explicitly made a deal. You know,
that's so crazy.
Because they would use an intermediary to determine who was going to win. Like if this person talked about their nephew Chuck, that meant that the home team would win. And if they talked about their nephew Anthony, it meant that the visiting team was probably going to win.
Wow.
So that was the whole scheme right there. Damn. But look it up. Tim Donaghy, NBA referee. Fascinating true crime.
I wonder if he's the guy who was mixed in with, because I can't remember where it was, but this whole thing about Michael Jordan, him retiring, and used to pay off some supposed gambling debts that he had and things of that nature.
Damn.
How much do you think, like, this stuff probably happens all the time in these sports, and we just never hear about it, you know?
It's insane.
Yep.
That's scary.
All right. Before Dallas gives his last question, I just want to give a shout-out to Savannah Smiles, an unspoken hero of the Girl Scout cookie line.
I was just trying to think, is Savannah Smiles a person or a cookie?
It's a cookie. My favorite porn star, Savannah Smiles. Thinking,
yeah.
That this is the last year. Supporter. This is the last year they're going to be distributed.
What?
Yeah, the lemon cookies.
I wish you had told me this 3 weeks ago.
I have a box at home. I'll give you some.
Thanks, man, but I would have ordered 500 boxes.
Yeah, I know. Well, I never cared much for them, or I never, like, thought much about them.
Are those the lemon drop ones?
Yeah. I'm a Samoa's.
Delicious.
Thin Mints, Tagalongs kind of guy. Those are my holy trinity.
Yeah.
I got some of the s'mores one this year.
I was underwhelmed.
And then I heard Savannah Smiles were going out, and I just happened to have $4 in my pocket.
Yeah.
And in front of Duffy's, they were putting away their little spread.
Yeah.
And I bought a box from them, and she was like, this is the last year. I was like, I know.
Mm.
I don't want to talk about it.
You know, I'm going to be on the lookout now, and I'm also going to be writing some letters. Honestly,
you should.
I'm
absolutely.
Gonna, they sh- that this cookie should not go away. It's one of their best. I don't know if the lemon is turning people away or
baby,
something
come
like
back.
That. Something ridiculous. Anyways, Dallas, do you have a third question for us?
Yes, I do. Hugh Jackman. It's a in the whole Marvel movie franchise area. Hugh Jackman and Sir Patrick Stewart just received a Guinness World Record for being in the most Marvel live action movies, or the most heroes and that portray their character the most times in live action movies. How many movies had they both been in? It's a little counter there.
It's how many movies Christ. Have they been in together?
Yes.
Didn't we have a similar question? Like, didn't you ask me a similar
question? I asked a
question
about how many movies
Patrick Stewart
has portrayed.
And I was off by one.
Yeah.
I remember.
So, Kyle Ann was in that episode. Mm-hmm. How many were they in together? Well, I mean, there's X-Men, X2, X3.
Wolverine Origins. I think that there's one that he wasn't in that I thought he was in is the problem.
I mean, the problem is how many movies beyond those, because I'm sure there have been plenty. I honestly, to me, it's
well,
just
okay,
a matter
so the
of
first
guessing.
X-Men movies. Then we have most recently Logan, Age of Apocalypse.
He wasn't. Sirian McKellen wasn't in Logan.
No, Patrick Stewart.
Patrick Stewart.
Professor oh, I'm sorry. X. I thought you were. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were asking how many were they in together.
They've both been in the same amount.
Oh, okay, got you. Yep.
They
okay.
received the Guinness record for it for some reason.
So Logan, then we have reason. Age of Apocalypse, but there's okay. This is it. Patrick Stewart's not in First Class, if I remember correctly from our last tour of this.
Yeah.
So we'll say Age of Apocalypse, Days of Future Past. Is he in Age of Apocalypse?
I want to say that the number of movies he was in was 7. But I might be wrong.
All right, well, we're at 6 right now, and we haven't hit any of the Wolverine solo movies other than Logan. The Wolverine.
So how many Wolverine movies were there? 3?
Yeah, there's Logan, The Wolverine, and Wolverine X-Men Origins, which I don't think he was in.
No, I don't think he was in that one either.
Well, 7. Let's go with it.
7.
16.
16 movies?
Combined.
Combined? So, if you... Wait. I think... correct me if I'm wrong here, but hasn't it been that they got the Guinness record for 16 years? Like, I think they got the record for the length
years?
Of time.
I totally fucked this up.
I would have known that, too. I would have known that. I was like, it was I like totally 16 years.
Did I write it down wrong?
I think so.
No
I think
need to
they,
send in
they,
a miscorrection
they got,
about that one.
They got the Guinness Book of World Records... which is funny because I was on the Guinness site looking for trivia last night and
ooh,
I came across this one. I
actually came across it on Twitter.
Yeah, because it made news. They presented Hugh Jackman yesterday with the award for longest amount of time in the Marvel Universe, I think is
years.
What it is. And it was like 16 years and they share the date because they both were in X-Men together. And they're the only two that have been in, you know, all of them.
Yeah. Since
I read it yesterday and then I was writing it down today. And totally missed the buck on that one there.
Yeah, it happens. It happens.
Do you want to throw another one at us?
Yeah.
Do you have another one?
I do. I do.
May
I
as well.
I do.
You can have a what do they call it?
We just had a live miscorrection. That's all.
Miscorrection. I kind of wanted to say that, but
let's do it. Let's do it.
Miscorrection.
Nice duet.
I know my boss.
Okay.
Dallas said some stuff. It was wrong. Now he's going to sing us another thing.
Yep.
What is the... It's kind of a two-parter. And I feel... I know you guys have spoken on one of these before, I believe. It's the highest grossing film with and without inflation.
Highest grossing
with and
film?
Without.
Yes.
So highest grossing film with inflation
yes.
and highest grossing film without. So I think the highest grossing film without or with inflation is Gone with the Wind.
Agreed.
The highest grossing film without inflation, like, just happened recently. Wasn't it like the Fast and the Furious 7 or whatever?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
I think it was depressing. Yeah. Is Gone with the Wind right?
Yes.
Okay. So we got that one.
Is there a second part now?
Well, yes. Now is the one without inflation.
Without inflation. Oh, okay. I see.
So, like, just actual dollars. Mm, All, you know, all these facts get stuck in my head. I'm pretty sure it's Fast and the Furious. I'm
it's
pretty
not,
sure it was
not Jurassic World.
I don't think so.
Two. Jurassic Park 5, aka Jurassic World 2.
Jurassic Planet 1.
We can go with Fast and the Furious 7, the most recent.
Whatever the most Fast and Furious is.
8 was the most recent one.
Oh, well, it's really behind.
Avatar.
Ah, Avatar.
It is still Avatar. Okay. Okay.
That 3D money.
Yep.
Yeah. Tell me about
every
it.
Ticket. Is a little extra,
seriously.
Extra dollar.
3D in every way. Okay, here is your third question from Moa. What was the first state to pass laws enforcing portions of the Paris Climate Accord after the U.S. pulled out of it? Mm. What was the first state to pass laws enforcing portions of the Paris Climate Accord after the U.S. pulled out of it?
Now, this might be hubris, but I think that this is easy. California wow. is like the predominantly environmental
yes.
state of the United States. And the governor hates Trump. So he seems like the first motherfucker that would be
that
like,
would say, hey.
Yeah, like he had it ready to go. Like he hates him so much. He probably anticipated that he was going to pull out and was like, start drafting shit. We're rolling this stuff out. So,
there are a couple states that always are right there ready. And
yeah.
California is one of them.
They have strict policies, statewide policies for plastic bags and, you know, emissions and stuff like that. I feel pretty strongly California.
I'm with you there 100%. California would be the number one. What are you doing?
Is that what you're going with? California?
No, California, yes. It's definitely
the correct
California.
Answer is... Hawaii.
What? Well,
all right, fine.
Hawaii.
Fine.
Who cares about Hawaii?
One state that cares a little bit more. About...
They have the most to lose, probably.
Yeah, actually.
Well, yeah. That's probably true.
Yeah. All right. Yep.
Hawaii.
I guess I just forgot about Hawaii.
Yeah, well, yeah. It was hubris. I mean, mm-hmm. you just kicked
sense.
The door in and you were like, California, which I would automatically probably first start considering one of the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah,
California, Oregon, Washington, mm-hmm. definitely like more green or whatever. But there's a place a little more west.
Yeah, indeed.
Called Hawaii.
Yep.
Never heard
and
of
I
it.
Feel like if I was on a team, see, I don't know. This is one where I would have talked somebody out of the right answer.
Yeah.
If somebody said Hawaii, I'd be like, I don't know about that. Really? Hawaii? But here we are.
Here we are.
Here we are.
And here we go.
Bye-bye.
Because we are done with the second round, we'll be back with a final question each.
Hello.
Bye-bye.
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 All right, we're back in our final question round. Dallas, it's been such a pleasure having you on the podcast today. Thanks for joining
absolutely.
Us.
Absolutely.
Hey, yeah. Thanks for having me.
We're guys. Already saying goodbye. We haven't even asked the first question.
I'm just saying, you're welcome back anytime.
Bye,
yeah,
Felicia.
Yeah. We got a few more questions. Good times ain't over yet.
All right, here's your last question from me. What nation did Afghanistan belong to until 1919?
I believe. Okay, see. I should totally know this. I know that they got a lot of their, even some of their foods and the military learned from the Brits. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking.
Why should you know this?
I might have spent some time in Afghanistan.
Just hanging out, right?
Part of the reason, that's part of the reason I ask, because I know.
A lot of their things, a lot of the stuff came from the Brits, but I believe it started, oh my goodness.
I'm looking to you for help here. I know nothing.
It's got to be them. It's got to be the Brits. It's got
to
be.
So what, but what country did they belong to? Is that what you're, yes. like, are you talking about land mass or?
There were,
They were owned by a country.
Like, oh, okay. It's not like they split off geographically.
No.
I see. Okay. Because I was like, holy shit, I don't know. Turn of the century. Middle Eastern geography.
Oh, did they liberate them and then teach them? It's been so long.
Afghanistan, so we're going with Great Britain is the idea? The English? I have no idea.
Dallas is deep in there.
Yeah, he's in his dark place right now.
The Mind Palace.
Flipping through.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to have to go with that.
All right.
The UK is correct.
Nice. Yes. The United Kingdom. I have a question for you guys now. And as I said earlier, I think this merges some of your favorite subjects together. Dallas, movies.
Yes.
And Mark, music.
Yes.
What orchestral ballad by the band Radiohead was rejected as the main theme by producers of which James Bond film that shares a name with the song?
Ooh, say this again.
What orchestral ballad by the band Radiohead was rejected as the main theme by producers of which James Bond film? So the movie and the song title are the same. Radiohead wrote this as a main theme for a James Bond film, and the producer said, no good. No good. Okay,
how much do you know about James Bond movies?
I know a decent amount, like James Bond movies themselves, but is this song? It was rejected, so it's...
It did not appear in the movie.
It's a Radiohead song, though.
Yes.
Yep, written and performed by Radiohead.
Radiohead's been around since the 1990s, but an orchestral... They wouldn't have done something orchestral early on when they were doing the bends and stuff. OK Computer came out in 2000, something like that. So it'd be a James Bond movie from 2000 to now. So we got 19 years of James Bond movies to think of. What James Bond movies came out recently?
The latest ones, the Daniel Craig, his first one was Casino Royale.
It's not that.
No, that was Chris Cornell did that one. Well, he actually, I don't know who. After that was Skyfall.
That was Adele.
Yes.
I can't think of a Radiohead song called Skyfall, but that's a possibility.
After that was Quantum of Solace.
That sounds like a fucking Radiohead song, if I've ever heard one.
Moon-shaped pool.
It was a really bad movie.
All right, any other ones?
There's been, there was another one, and I'm blanking on what it was called. It had the German guy in it from...
Christoph Waltz?
Yes, and I'm trying to remember what that one was called.
The German guy.
Yeah.
Christoph Waltz from Inglourious Basterds.
Poor guy.
In Django.
Yeah, he was in Django too. Yeah, he was the dentist. The dentist in Django. Yeah, yeah.
I need you.
I didn't see that James Bond movie.
I need you. I don't need you to have seen it. I just need you to know the name of it.
I'm trying to go before that because I believe Pierce Brosnan had some in the 90s.
Yeah, what are those?
What most famous one? It was GoldenEye.
No.
Which one was Holly Berry in? Was that...
Lee is scratching his beard.
I'm not saying that's it, but I appreciate you're going, back to the Pierce Brosnan era here.
Are we on to something going into the Pierce Brosnan
area? You're not. Okay. But I appreciate that you're trying to dig out these. GoldenEye, and then there was one more. I'm having trouble remembering the name of that one. But
something with the word die in it. Was it Tomorrow Never Dies? No.
Die Another Day?
Guess yes. I'll die another day. I think this Madonna did the theme to that one.
It's so funny because my last question last night was a James Bond music question. Isn't that fucking crazy?
Weird.
There's been a bunch of weirdness like that.
Hmm.
Quantum of Solace, I'm going to say, with what we've got, is the closest to what would be a fucking Radiohead song that would be orchestral. And if we can't think of another one, I think we should just go with that.
I'm really trying to remember the name of the last one. I'm going to be so mad if it's that one. But, I hate Quantum of Solace, so I'm going to go... Yeah, I think we should go with that.
Yeah, we're gonna go with Quantum of Solace.
It is the movie that came after that.
I knew it.
Sorry, Dallas. The title is Spectre.
God damn it!
Spectre. Yep.
Fucking god damn it!
I really thought you guys were gonna get that one. That's a zero out of like eight Spectre. Question at this point for any quiz masters. That's a good one, apparently.
God, fuck. Good.
Yep. People wagered one. The people who wagered one on that and got
god,
it
wrong. God, fucking Spectre
ended up winning.
Asshole. Fuck.
I never heard the song. I don't know. Mm-mm. No, no.
It sounds like a reject song. No offense to Radiohead, but
so who did do the theme for it?
It is the accepted theme for Spectre was called "Writings on the Wall" by Sam Smith.
Wow.
Yep.
What?
Yep. They went with Sam Smith. The guy who had to pay royalties out to Tom Petty for his big hit.
Nothing against Sam, but that doesn't seem like a James Bond type of singer to me. I don't know.
Yeah. I haven't heard the song.
Was in that too, huh?
I haven't heard the song, but
it's literally the only one that I haven't seen of the new Bonds. And I just pooped the bed there.
It happens, man. It happens. All right. So I believe it's your turn, Dallas, for a final question of the episode.
One. Yep. I had to pop something at the top of my head where I know I knew the answer and I wasn't going to fuck it up.
Fair enough. Dallas is not reading these questions off of
no,
the phone.
No, he's going out
this
of
is,
out
this
of his
is very
mind.
Intimidating.
Yeah, yeah.
What movie did Frank Sinatra have a famous song sung in? The song Luck Be a Lady.
I know this.
Like, he was in the movie singing
he
it?
Was.
He was in the movie.
I believe he played Guy Masterson, if I remember correctly. It was also a musical.
You
and
know
I
this.
Played drums in the musical for high
okay.
school.
You know where I thought you were going with this?
Luck be a lady tonight.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Never be out of my sight or whatever the fuck.
Stick with me, baby. I'm the fella you came in.
Luck be a lady tonight. Luck be a lady tonight. Do you know it?
No. I thought he was going. Where he was going with this was a little factoid that I brought up to one of my players last night that Frank Sinatra was contractually obligated to be offered the role of John McClane in Die Hard.
Wow.
Before, because he had played that character in another movie, because they're both based on a character from a book.
Wow.
So the contract dictated that he was offered the role first. He turned it down, of course. Huh. We know that now.
I will, before I give the answer, but I will say that
I thought that's where you're going with this.
This musical has a song called Marry the Man. Hmm. That I love.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle? I know it. It's a great song, isn't it?
Marry the man today.
Yep. It is a... Uh-oh. Kyle's now heading this way. That I
Why
love...
Why did you summon her?
That did not end up in the movie, for whatever reason they cut it. The name of the musical in the movie is Guys and Dolls.
Yes.
Okay. I feel like that's somewhere back in the recesses of my brain. He doesn't play John McClane in that, does he?
No, he plays Guy Masterson, right?
He plays Nathan Detroit.
Nathan Detroit, okay. And Guy Masterson is the other guy.
It was, I can't remember his name right now. I'm getting a blank. He played Superman's dad in the original Donner.
Hmm.
Ooh.
Superman's, Marlon Brando.
Yes. Yeah.
Marlon Brando.
And he can't sing for anything. Yeah.
No. Huh, well, good. I'm glad I got the last one.
Luck be a lady tonight.
It's a good song.
That's exactly what he sounded like.
I'm going to make him a luck where he can't refuse.
That's
a terrible Brando.
That's
worse than my Ray. All right. Well, I think that wraps up this episode of the No No. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thank you again.
Dallas, thank you so much for coming. Dallas was a last second guest. We decided to ask him last night when he showed up to my trivia, so
yeah, we've been meaning to have you on, but we just hadn't made the connection yet, and it worked out. Luck was a lady tonight.
Luck was a lady last night.
See what you did there.
If you feel like joining us at No Nonsense Trivia Live, you can catch me at Three Pepper Burrito Company in downtown Fort Myers at 7:30 p.m. on Mondays. Tuesdays, Dallas, you're up at 10:25, right?
Yes, I'll be there. We start at 7 p.m.-ish sharp all the times.
Is there anything else you want to plug before we head out, like a podcast? Or?
Yes, me and two of my friends, we started a little podcast. It's just called We Do Stuff. We do random stuff every single episode, play games, talk about music, eat food. Who knows? I never know. I believe next week we're going to be what's the word I'm thinking of? I'm at a blank. Recasting Batman, who we think should play the under the cowl.
Ooh, I believe is what okay. We're talking about. I like that. I like
very
that.
Good.
Cool. So check that out, the We Do Stuff podcast. And of course, you can see Dallas and play his trivia on Tuesdays at 10:25 at 7, you said?
7 p.m.
7 p.m. And then we'll be at Bury Me Brewing Company on Wednesdays in Fort Myers. That one starts at 7. And each and every Thursday evening at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in downtown Cape Coral, that show starting at 7:30. Mr. Mark Davis, where can you be found on Wednesdays?
Wednesday night, after you get done down at Bury Me Brewing, why don't you hop in your car and drive, if you are sober, down to Nice Guys Pints and Pies in historic downtown Cape Coral, and play a little trivia with me from 9 o'clock until 10:30. I'd be remiss not to mention that Danger will be opening soon.
Ooh.
And oh boy,
are you gonna be doing trivia up there?
You know, I jokingly mentioned it to Greg. I was like, yeah, I'll do trivia for all like four tables that are in there because it's mostly a to-go spot.
Yeah,
but I don't think it's gonna happen.
Yeah,
danger. I was joking that what I should do is just do customer trivia, person by person, and if they got something right, they get like 10% off.
So you just sit there and,
if they get it wrong, they don't get anything off, or they have to pay extra.
I like that. I want a booth for you that says like the quiz master awesome? Is in 5 cents.
Yeah, wouldn't that be I think that would be wicked. Just have like a little thing. It's like, okay, he's in now. Like, we can get like, what's the question?
Yeah,
like, oh, what's the third largest Canada continent by surface area or whatever.
I love it. I'm going to poke Greg on that. I'm
yeah,
gonna say,
please
get him
do.
In there. Give him, make, him, make him a booth.
Just whenever I have some extra time to make some money, I'll just pop in there and sit down and get paid maybe like $1 a question.
Sounds good to me. I'd hire you. Thanks for listening, everyone. Hope you had fun. Join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support The No-No on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com. And clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page. You can also write us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia, and on Twitter at No Non Trivia. Finally, don't forget, please leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. We cannot stress the importance of this enough. 5 stars only, please. 5 is the magic number.
5.
How'd that t-shirt giveaway go?
Which one?
I thought we were giving away a t-shirt.
I didn't see any entries.
Fantastic.
So zero. If you...
We're big on people listening, but not big on people interacting.
Yeah.
And we need you to get the word out.
Sometimes Please. Sometimes we get like 3 rate my questions and 2 miscorrections, and then sometimes we get 0. And we really love those shares, though.
We
you
do. Know,
any way you want to interact with us is great.
Absolutely. Tell people, if you think this show's funny, let people know it's funny. If you think it's informative, let them know it's informative. Tell all your geek friends and all your friends who like to listen to people ramble on, you know, about us.
And you can play along as you listen.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a community listening podcast.
It's a famous pastime.
Yeah. All right. Until next time, No Nonsense listeners.
Be there or don't.